good to see everyone this evening. We'll look this evening at Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. And we're going to switch over also to Mark chapter 1 and read the parallel passage to this. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 1, it says, "When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him." Now bear in mind, this is immediately after the Sermon on the Mount. So there are great crowds following where Jesus went. In verse 2, and so this is at the early part of his personal ministry, right? Really towards the beginning of it. Verse 2 says, "And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.' Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, 'See that you tell no one, but go your way and show yourself to the priest, and to offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them.'" So Jesus healed the man and, of course, then told him to go and show himself to the priest. Now, if you go over to Mark chapter 1 and verse 40, he says, "Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.' And Jesus then, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once. And he said to him, 'See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way and show yourself to the priest, and offer your cleansing, those things which for your cleansing, those things which Moses commanded as a testimony.' However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely to spread the matter, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him and for every direction." So we're not specifically sure that this is the same incident, but it's very similar, and very similar things happen. So I would assume probably is the same, but whether or not it is, it's still the same principle, the same things happen at this particular time. Now, in the idea here is we're going to look at what the man with leprosy did and how he approached Jesus on this occasion. And the idea of the prayer of the leper, it was maybe we wouldn't think of it so much as a prayer as simply a request. "Lord, if you got this power, if you would please give it to me," in other words. Now, the leper who came to Jesus showed an example to us that he recognized what many others around him did not. He was willing to accept that Jesus was the powerful man, that maybe he didn't fully understand yet that he was the Son of God, but he certainly understood and could see the power that he had, and probably thought at very least he was a prophet of God, if not much more than that. So we look at this, and go back to Matthew's account here. It says in verse 1, "When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.'" Now notice he says, "Lord, if you are willing." Now, I'm sure all along he was hoping that the Lord would be willing to do this. He did not doubt that he had the power to do it, but Jesus, he was hoping, had the will to do it also. He wanted to help him. He had helped others. He had began his personal ministry. He had gone through what chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew we call the Sermon on the Mount. So this would be right after that, as he is coming down from the mountain. And he says, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." So we'll talk about some more in a moment, but the idea of making him clean was more than simply healing his leprosy. He was making, in a sense, a spiritual appeal also. You can cleanse me. You can make me clean not only physically, but spiritually also, because under the law of Moses, in which they lived, there were some very specific commands given about what was to be done with leprosy. Now, I might point out right here, the real disease of leprosy was an incurable disease. But sometimes, you know, like in the Old Testament, a skin problem or trouble, what might be thought to be leprosy, and after a while, if it went away or it was cured, they would go to the priest and they would offer a sacrifice and they would be considered clean from that. But notice in this and in Mark also, in verse 3, it says he stretched out his hand to touch him. Now, if you go back to Leviticus chapter 14, which we will in a moment, he didn't have to touch him. Jesus could have spoken the word and said, be clean, and he would have been completely clean, cleansed of his leprosy. But Jesus was willing to touch him. And that was a great example to the people around him. Because under the law of Moses, those who had leprosy were to separate themselves from the community, wherever they were, and they were to live outside of that, and they could not go in among the people. They could not go to the temple. There was other things that they were forbidden to do as long as they were afflicted with leprosy or what was thought to be leprosy in some cases. And so Jesus didn't have to touch him. In fact, in Mark chapter 1 and verse 41, it says he willingly did this. He reached out to touch him. So Jesus did not have to do it. But he said, go back to Leviticus chapter 14 for a moment. In Leviticus chapter 14, and Leviticus is the book of the Old Testament that basically was the commands and the guidebook of the Levites, the priesthood, for the Old Testament to what they were to do under certain conditions, whether this particular one happened to do with leprosy, but there was many other instructions for the priests in the book of Leviticus, and it was their guidebook. In Leviticus chapter 14 and verse 1, it says, Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper for the day of his cleansing, and he shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall go out to the camp, and the priest shall examine him, and indeed if the leprosy is healed in the leper, then the priest shall command him to take him who is to be cleansed, two living and clean birds, cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. And as for the living bird, he shall take it, the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop, and dip them in the living and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle it seven times on him who is to be cleansed from the leprosy, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose in the open field. Now, I'm not going to read the rest of it, because there's a whole list of things that had to be gone through for this to be done. But notice how specific these commands were. Well, Jesus, when he said, I'm willing, I will make you clean, he told him, go show yourself to the priest. Well, that's what the law required. And of course, they lived, and Jesus' whole life was lived under the law of Moses. It was not taken out of the way until he had gone back to heaven. And so Jesus was willing to cleanse him. And so he said, in other words, you go and do what the law of Moses says. Now, as we read in Mark chapter 1, that not only Jesus also told him not to say anything. We'll get back to this also. But he went out and told everybody. Well, if you or me had been healed of leprosy, or, you know, we had been blind and we'd been given our sight, or we'd been deaf and we could hear, we would probably go out and tell everyone else also. But Jesus told him, don't do that. You just go and show yourself to the priest, because that's what the law required. And Jesus, of course, we know, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, it says he lived his entire life without sin. He did not sin. He did not break any of the commandments and the requirements and the tenets of the law of Moses. He's the only one that ever did that, the only one that could do that. And so he did that to be the perfect sacrifice for for our sin. But the man said, if you're willing, you can do this. And Jesus said, I am willing. And so he was willing to cleanse the man of his leprosy. And he then told him, don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest. Now, I've heard people say, well, Jesus was just using reverse psychology because he knew he'd actually go out and tell everyone. But Jesus didn't do that kind of thing. That's not the way he operated. You know, he didn't try to fool people into doing something that he didn't tell them to do. He said, don't go and tell anybody. He wasn't using reverse psychology. And if you go back to John chapter 2, there's an example there where Jesus went to the marriage feast in Cana of Galilee with his mother. And they were there. And after a while, they ran out of wine. And she came to him and said, they've run out of wine. And he says, he told his mother, he said, my time has not yet come. In other words, she was appealing to him. She knew his power. But he was saying, you know, my time to do all these things has not yet come. In other words, I'm not ready to reveal myself as the Messiah in the sense that I'm going to later. But he did, of course, accede to her request and turn the water into wine. But Jesus was telling this man also for the same reason. Now, he still had most of his personal ministry to go, probably a couple of years. And so he was not ready to fully reveal himself as the Messiah. But when this man went out and began to proclaim that, you know, that was the conclusion that many of them came to. The priest, when he came to the priest, was to pronounce him to be healed. And then, as we read in Leviticus, the sacrifice was to be made. And there was a whole set of things, steps that were to be taken. And after a while, the man who was pronounced to be clean was to come back I believe a couple of weeks later, if I'm not mistaken, and be checked and make sure that he was indeed clean. And all the things that he had touched in his tent and everything were to be taken out and burned. And all of the utensils in the house that he had eaten with, depending on what they were made out of, could be washed a couple of times and they were considered clean also. So there is a purpose for that law. It wasn't just spiritual law, it was also a physical law. Just like in the book of Deuteronomy, we have the clean and the unclean animals listed. Well, there was a reason why they were unclean to them not to eat, because they carried all kinds of diseases and parasites and other things. And God told him, if you'll do what I tell you, you'll not get the diseases that the Egyptians had or the Midianites or the others had around you, because they ate of those things. And so there was two reasons. There was the physical reason that God told them, I don't want you to be ill like those people. I want you to be separate. But also for the spiritual reason that God commanded it. And when he did, that settled the situation. But we also look at what the leper did. And someone said there, and one writer said there's three qualities and things he exhibited in his prayer, his request to Jesus on this occasion. So he says there in chapter 8 and verse 3, says, then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Notice it was not a long healing process. It didn't take a week or 2 weeks or 6 months or whatever. He was cleansed immediately. Just like when Jesus gave sight to the blind or hearing to the deaf or whatever it might have been, or made the lame man walk, he could immediately jump up and walk and all the things that he did. And so there's three things it says here, the idea that this man was thinking about. And Jesus said, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Verse 4. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way and show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. And of course, then if you go to Mark chapter 1, says he went out and told everybody about what had been done for him. And so he prayed, but the man prayed, he asked Jesus with a sincere confidence in who Jesus was. Now again, he might not have yet understood that Jesus was in fact God in the flesh, that he was God's son upon the earth. But at least he understood the power that some of the prophets of the Old Testament had, and he recognized in Jesus that he had that kind of power. But he also recognized in himself that his disease, without the miraculous cure that Jesus could give, was an incurable disease, that eventually it was going to cost him his life. He then, of course, he would have wasted away physically and finally died. So in a sense, the only possibility, the only chance he had was to that Jesus would access to the idea and the request that he had, said, yes, be clean, be cleansed. And so Jesus did so. Now we take that as an example. He asked Jesus, he prayed, if you will, in sincere confidence, not doubting that Jesus had the power to do it. Now, Jesus could have told him no for whatever reason he wanted. He didn't have to give a reason. But he didn't do that. He had compassion on the man. He was willing to heal him. We need to have the same kind of faith that that man had. If you go over to James chapter 1, in James chapter 1, and verse 4, he says, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Now, God doesn't want us to lack in anything. He wants to have everything that we need for our salvation. Verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. But let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, for he is a double-minded man and unstable in all his ways. Well, that's not the kind of man that this leper was. He had sincere faith that Jesus had the power to heal him of his leprosy. And so he made his appeal. He said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus said, I am willing, be clean. And so there is a sincerity, a confidence that didn't waver. Now, in James chapter 1, he says we're to ask and not doubt God. Now, sometimes we may doubt ourselves and we may have doubts about certain things in life. But we should not doubt the fact that God has the power to answer the prayers that we have. Now, he may not always answer them the way that we want. He may say no to the prayer or the request. But we still need to pray and have the confidence that God has the power to do and to fulfill what we ask. We also look at the leper, and he prayed with humility. He says there in verse 2, in Matthew chapter 8, verse 2, it says, behold, a leper came and worshipped him. And the Mark chapter 1 says he bowed down before him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Now, again, he may not have fully comprehended who Jesus was at this point in time, but he recognized the power that was there. He didn't boast of his own righteousness. He didn't say, you know, I deserve to be healed. I didn't deserve to get this illness. And if, you know, a lot of people in the world, they want to blame God for several kinds of problems they have, maybe health or some other kind of thing. And yet God is willing to heal. He's willing to bless us. He's willing to forgive us. But we have to understand that God never promised we would not have trouble or problems or difficulties or illness or whatever in this life. He never promised that we wouldn't have to endure those things. And so this man, he didn't blame God. He didn't say, this is God's fault that I got ill like this. He simply asked in humility. He asked in faith. He didn't boast about his own righteousness. Now, if you go over to Luke chapter 18, and the parable there of the Pharisee and the publican that went to the temple to pray, Well, Pharisee stood up and said, Lord, look how great I am and how fortunate you are to have me as your servant. And that's the attitude that he took. He says, I thank you that I'm not a sinner like this man over there. And so it was all about him and how good and righteous he was. Well, the man on the other side, he beat on his chest and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. That was the kind of attitude that the man with leprosy here had. He didn't pray for a show before anybody else. In Matthew chapter 6 and other places, Jesus warned of those who would stand on the street corners and pray long prayers, and that people would go by and admire their dedication to God. And he says they have their reward. They want the praise of men, and they got that, so they've got the reward they wanted. The most important thing, though, Jesus says, is you pray to God by yourself, alone, with your own thoughts and ideas. And so that's what this man was doing. Rather than some who would not humbly accept the the word and the knowledge and the teaching of God and recognize our own helplessness before him, which this man did, we need to acknowledge that. And in Matthew chapter 5, Matthew 5 and verse 3, very beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Well, this man demonstrated what the idea of being poor in spirit is. He knew that he could not do something for himself to be healed, but Jesus had the power to do that. He was willing to lean upon that faith and upon the faith that he had, that Jesus had the power to do this, but also was willing to do it. But he also prayed with reverence. And we look in our world today, and reverence and respect of God is not something you see very much in our time, in our society. But he kneeled down before Jesus. He showed his own humility, his own reverence, and he was a faithful example for others around him. And he had leprosy, and these people, not many of them were not doing this kind of thing or being that kind of that humble as he was before Jesus, but he was willing to do so because he knew that the reward that he could receive was a great blessing, that maybe he didn't deserve it, and he didn't exalt himself thinking that he did, but he was willing to be humble in Jesus' sight and request of him what he needed. But he understood that to be before Jesus was to be in the presence of great power. He understood the power that Jesus had, and he appealed not just to the power, but also to the love and compassion that Jesus had. Now, if you read through the four gospel accounts, over and over again, when people with illnesses and other problems and such come to Jesus and are sincerely trying to get help from him, the Bible says over and over again, he had compassion upon them. The word compassion literally means to suffer along with another. Well, Jesus suffered with them. Now, he didn't have leprosy, and he wasn't blind, he wasn't deaf, but he had compassion on those people who were afflicted that way, and he suffered with them. Because of that, he was willing to heal them. But he also recognized the power that Jesus had was not simply a man, but this was the power of God. He understood that. He was willing to appeal to that power, but also the love and compassion that Jesus had. But we need to have the same kind of attitude toward people around us. Look over in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20. He says, now to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus and to all generations forever and ever. Amen. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Think about that for a moment. That anything we can ask for, anything that we can do, anything that we can think, no matter how big it is, how powerful it is, much beyond our imagination, he can do abundantly much beyond that. much farther than we can ever even comprehend. And so this man depended upon the compassion and love and concern that Jesus had for him, but also he appealed to his power to be able to do something for him. So the kind of prayer that he had and the humility that he showed appealed to Jesus, and he was willing to help the man. Now, there's other occasions where Jesus did not even go to a house or somewhere and heal someone from the distance. But this man was willing to come. Jesus touched him, which he didn't have to do. According to the law of Moses, he wasn't even supposed to do that. But he understood the show of the compassion that he had, that the example it would be for others. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12, it says, "For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." Now, God wants to hear our prayer. He wants us to pray for the things we need. He wants us to ask him, but he already knows what we need, but he still wants us to ask. And that's the idea here. Jesus could have healed this man without even his request, but he wanted man to acknowledge for himself and for the people who were around him that this is the power of God, this is Christ, this is the compassion that Jesus Christ had upon the people. And of course, the ultimate symbol of that was his death upon the cross. He didn't have to go there. He could have gone back to heaven any time, and he would still have been God, and yet we would still be lost eternally. So we need to follow that example. And Jesus, of course, in Matthew chapter 6, gives what some people call the Lord's Prayer. Some call it the model prayer. It's a model for how we are to pray and come in humility before the Lord. Now tonight, you know, we look at these things and realize this man made a request, and Jesus honored it. But we didn't, as human beings, the people of Jesus' day when he was living upon the earth, they didn't have any idea what the real purpose of the Messiah was. They thought he was going to come and be an earthly king, and ride in on a horse and a sword and throw out the Romans and reestablish the kingdom of David and reign from the city of Jerusalem. That's what they thought. And when he was not that kind of Messiah and that kind of king, they rejected him. But those who were faithful, those who believed him and were willing to follow him, they are the ones that bring to us the eternal life which God revealed in the Word of God to us. So we have the opportunity every day we live to believe him and to obey him. Tonight, if there's a need in your life to respond to the Lord's invitation, you recognize and the way you live, and maybe you need to respond in some way. There is a need that you may have in life. Won't you come as we stand, as we sing?